What's like the percentage of long COVID is like 5% or something? And someone was like, I remember my friend being like, I don't know, it's not that high. And I'm like, do you know how many? I'm fucking a Magic player. Do you know how many times I've been like, one in 30? And then 30 was at like 3%. Come on, one time, baby. Woo! I've lived like 5% many times
for my life. If you ever kept a no lander, you can't say this.
Yeah.
It's not easy playing green. Why are there so many songs about bannings? And what formats on the other side? Are bannings solutions or only delusions? And bannings have something to hide. So we've been told there's a win rate threshold, but I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday they'll reset the format's illusion, the players, the haters, and me.
Hello and welcome to the Canadian Threshold, the Legacy podcast that is ecstatic that there's at least one ape you can't right-click and save. My name is Quinn Omori, and I'm here as always, like host Jeff Kinsey. Jeff, what's up?
I appreciate the ones where you don't tell us beforehand, like, what are we doing? What do we think of? You don't even say, I got one in the barrel. You just had it ready to go.
I thought of that. I tested on Liz, and she laughed. I'd explain, like, the whole monkey thing, and then she laughed, and I was like, oh, that's a good one.
Dude, I had to explain the whole monkey NFT thing to Green today, and I just thought, like, we live in such different corners of the internet.
100%.
Before we get into monkey NFTs, I'm going to also introduce McBain, who you just heard. Brendan, what's going on?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Brendan.
I'm gonna give you 11 out of 10 on that intro. That was an excellent one.
A prominent Magic player, as long as I said their name, I don't think this matters that much, but anyways, a prominent Magic player was posting about like the ape, as specifically like some ape NFTs, which, like, you know what, if you were like, hey, I think I might make money off this, sure, there's like a lot of things we get into, but like, you know, whether they're good or bad or whatever, the environmental impact, which I don't want to get into right now. But the lead was like, I've been getting way more into art, and I'm like, come on, like, just be like, hey, I think like we're kind of getting on the ground floor of like what might be a pyramid scheme, like fucking come get some money, sure, but like, I'm getting more into art, like that's just like, it's so sad.
And the Van Gogh of monkey pickeroos,
yeah. And then it's just like this like cartoon monkey, and you're like, oh yeah, that looks fucking sweet,
like this is dope, man, sick.
Especially like Magic players, you know, like Magic art's like quite good on the whole.
How like long until somebody makes a monkey NFT CCG? I know V or whatever is making some NFT Magic thing, but no, you need to do all the arts with like fucking Jimmy Kimmel monkeys.
They're just apes. Yeah. Every deck's tribal. There's like lion ones and shit. Cats or whatever.
The one good thing to say about fucking the monkey NFTs compared to other things is like, for a grift, the people getting targeted by the grift here aren't really people in, you know, pretty unfortunate, less favored spots. Most of the people that are getting kind of blown out here are like, you know, all my monkey are gone. I lost $10,000.
Yeah. To be able to do it in the first place, like, you have to have a certain level of, well, maybe that's a little too generous. A
few things.
Yeah. Either you're like a young Zoomer who can use the internet, and then you don't know what risks are, so you just go all in. Why not? I'm still excited for our Canadian Threshold little avatars for Twitter or NFTs to come in.
Mongoose NFTs.
Yeah, our Mongoose little JPEGs. Like, those are going to be so sweet.
Hang on, I got to write something down. That's actually a good idea.
What, oh, they've already Mongoose NFTs?
Tuck that away in the little show notes.
Yeah. Hey, like, everyone has like the same kind of like rough Mongoose, but then you get like little like monocles or cigars or whatever. I think it'd be fantastic.
This is my Mongoose, but it's a 4/4 black zombie.
Exactly.
Before we talk about more NFTs, I do have some amount of housekeeping to bring up, if you'll let me proceed.
Please. This place is a pigsty.
This is brought to us by our very own Jeremy Edwards, sharing out what appears to be a little local newsletter, which is great to see. Saturday, February 19th, Mox is hosting Team Trios. And what formats are those, you ask? Modern, Legacy, and Pauper. Very exciting.
February 19th. That's a sweet trio.
It is a sweet trio. And it's especially nice seeing, because in this other thing from Jeremy, there's some other events on here I'm not going to mention, but there other team trio events. And it's, you know, almost what you'd expect, like from WotC or something, like Modern, Legacy, Pioneer. So to have Pauper in there is sick, especially coming off the heels of those like Pauper bans. Like, did you see that Storm deck that Bryant won the challenge with?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Sweet. Casting Exhum to get back your whatever the hell that zombie is you exploit to like get back your Song of the Damned. Like, oh my god. Just turning Exhum into like a ritual is so sick. So Pauper looks super sick. And you know, if the situation is good, I'd like to go to this. But you know, the situation has to change a little bit.
In like 3.5 weeks.
I always laugh a little bit when people say, oh, you know, like, we'll see how things go. And you're like, what do you think is going to happen in 3 weeks' time?
Yeah.
Seven incubation periods, say anything could happen.
I will be excited to see the results of this tournament, if nothing else.
For sure. The Mox has always had, it seems, some support, at least for Pauper.
Oh, big
time. I know when you're there, one of the walls that they would have is all of these little like pre-made decks and stuff like that that you could get. And they're always kind of like trying to cater to like a bit more of the casual player.
They always had like the Rags to Riches events too, which were like a direct like Pauper to Legacy pipeline.
Yeah.
The prizes for some of those things were crazy. And I mean, it seems like the kind of crowd, maybe it's because of what the prizes were, but like the crowd, when you look through like the top eight list, you're like, hey, all of these people have whooped my ass at Legacy.
Yeah, I totally forgot about those Rags to Riches events. Those are awesome.
Yeah, I think it's been, I mean, certainly at least 2 years now since they've done one, but I think maybe a bit longer.
That's some great calculus you're doing. Way to go. So this was February 19th, Saturday, yes. Dead at Mox. And it's the Bellevue one, right? The big one?
Yes, it is. The Bellevue That's one. Awesome. Prize pool is supposed to be scaling from $720 to $2,100, depending on turnout. Lots of room. So there's a ticket thing we'll chuck in the show notes for anybody who wants to register. Should be cool. Should be very cool.
So NFTs.
Yeah. I guess the big announcement coming out of today, bum, 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 legacy bans. Of note, single legacy ban, Ragavan has kicked the bucket. Although this monkey is gone and your NFT still exists, you can no longer use it. he has become non-fungible himself.
Except in Modern.
True. Partially fungible. The PFT, partially fungible token. I don't know. It feels weird to see like a legacy band come out and be like, huh. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it was like, I guess it was like the minimum action they could take.
Yeah, I agree. Because obviously, for sure.
I think like that was gonna be it, unless they went down like the Days Ban road.
Yeah, it is funny. It's like, you know, I, despite being so like down on the way WotC goes about handling this stuff, particularly with the bans and communication around it, I still let myself get, I guess, subconsciously a little carried away with some like hope that there'd be like something. And I don't think it's like so dire that everything's fucking exploding and not worth playing or anything, but like, you know, we're talking about looking at numbers and bans. I was hoping for something a little more exciting than a ban that feels like it doesn't really change the format much. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think if they stick to the, like what they said in the announcement, that we want to see what happens and we're willing to take action like relatively quickly. And if it's relatively quickly to like normal humans living in, you know, normal time and space and not whatever timeline that WotC seems to be on, I think it's reasonable.
Do you think they've earned that goodwill to believe them when they say they'll keep up with it and take action soon if needed?
I mean, I think like I don't really like trust their ability to stay organized about anything, but I don't think they've said we're willing to do something relatively quickly and like specifically and then not done that.
That was like kind of what they did from Eternal Weekend, though. Like, I don't think they said like explicitly like we're gonna do something right now, right after this. But there was like we know we got an eye on this. And then, you know, it's been 3 months.
But I think that's a thing where I think it would have behooved them to be like, we think it's fine for now.
Oh, sure.
Which would have been fine. But definitely. They didn't say, they said they were going to look at results of Eternal Weekend. They didn't say we're going to look at the results of Eternal Weekend. And then yep,
those are some results.
Then do a ban quickly, right? So, I mean, my assumption is that they thought it was okay or it would sort itself out.
I think Ian was just on vacation.
Yeah, I think they had so much vacation built up over all the COVID stuff. They had to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So they got into like, you know, the end of November and they're just like, sorry, Ian, you got to get out of here. And he's like, but Legacy, they're screaming for a ban. And he had the whole thing like drafted up. It was already like ready to go to the comms team.
Classic situation, right? You're like, okay, well, I'm gone. I've got this thing drafted. Can somebody just review and forward it on?
Like, send this out the door. And they're like, yeah, sure, sure. And he comes back and he's like, so how's Legacy now? That, like, you know, how's the meta shaping up? They're like, oh, it's the same dumpster fire it's always been. Like, when are you going to do anything about it? But, I don't know. Maybe it's just that I've been like indoctrinated, or I've listened to so many Insane Plays episode where I'll hear Stephen Manidian argue all the time about change one thing at a time, stop doing these big changes and just commit to making adjustments as needed, which I think is what we got. Again, I can sense the deep skepticism in both of you in terms of what soon means.
Finn's got that opium. I'm over here.
I just said it was reasonable.
Yeah, I think it's good. And again, like, everyone likes the idea of like, well, let's not just like have this giant ban list and ban everything and ban things too quickly. And
I don't care if they have a giant ban list, for the record.
Well, yeah, I know you're a lost.
Like, if the cards are, I'm not saying it needs to be like one right now, but when people are like, well, the ban list should be like small, like they should make it cards.
I have a
ban list needs to get big one day, then so be it.
Controversial opinion that the format should be cool.
Yeah, so I think it'll be interesting to see how things shape out in terms of like, do we want to go to like our winners and losers talk? Because I think that's pretty much what we're going to get into, or at least what I was about to get into.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, from like the initial reaction piece to like only banning Ragavan, I think the other part that makes it reasonable is like, what other piece would you ban? And I don't like, I don't know.
And that was the part that they said it wasn't clear. And like a lot of people have made this point as well, is like, there's a pretty unified front in terms of like, yeah, this thing's probably bad, unless you're like some young Zoomer who's just like, no, everything's fine. So it was clear that Raghavan needed to go, but then you started to get into these like different camps of like, oh, Expressive Federation is broken. And some people are like, what are you even talking about? Like, it's not that good. Like, it's pretty slow. It's slow card advantage. Everything's some slow card advantage. What are you talking about? Or Murktide, and they're like, don't you just have Pyroblast? Can't you kill that thing? Or Swords to Plowshares? What's the problem? And it feels like there's kind of answers for things. And then the Daze question that was always coming up. Daze was like something that everyone loved and appreciated, well, at least for us. And it's one of those things, it's like, well, stop having these like game ending one drops that you have to answer, or the whole like board kind of spins out of control. And if they've addressed that with the Raghavan, like hopefully we kind of get to a bit of a new normal with things. So I don't know. I'm excited. I think it's a good change. It's the right change. And if things continue to go weird, or something becomes like hyper dominant, like if all of a sudden some deck that I want to mention is going to be insane and it's just unstoppable, then, you know, then they can take action and address that. But the idea of trying to put like the modern Horizons genie back in the bottle, I think is just not a reality.
Yeah. So. I think what you're saying is definitely true. And it's thinking of it like in a vacuum. I think the right thing to do, like you're getting at, is just banning Raghavan and then making a move following up. Because yeah, if you look at it, it's like probably 95% of people in the format were like, yeah, fuck it, get rid of the stupid thing. And as soon as you go down to like EI or like Murktide or Prismatic Ending or Saga or whatever, it's definitely more contentious. So I hope they're following through on their word to, you know, keep an eye on this and see what's going on and have some sort of, you know, curation or thought process behind it. And then I'll be happy with their surgical bans.
One of the things that comes to mind is Mentor Miracles, or Miracles like towards the end of its heyday, when there was kind of like the three camps of like top, counterbalance, or Terminus, in terms of what people want to get rid of. And like they banned top, obviously. And like those other two cards are not discussed at all. Like they're not a thing anymore. The format's changed. They still get played here and there. There's still cards, but like you don't have counterbalance sitting on the ban list as well, because they banned two things at once. And I think it's really evident that they are really, really slow to unban things. So I like the idea of kind of taking a bit more of a stepwise approach with the bannings and not doing these big bans. But they've done both in the past, where they'll come in and they ban, like, what was it last time? Arcanist, Astrolabe.
Dude, that was like one of the best like ban list updates ever.
Yeah, I'm not gonna argue with that.
Like, yeah, like Arcanist, I mean, you just said it, Oko, Astrolabe, like, oh man. Was reinvigorated that day.
Got you all excited there. You're like, oh, remember that day. That was a beautiful day.
I needed this.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm stoked. I'm, well, one, excited to play some Legacy, and I'm really hoping to play some Paper, but I'll take this as I can get it.
So, winners and losers. Do you gentlemen have any ideas? What's good? What's bad? What changed? What's the same?
Well, I always like to think of our opinions as not the best opinions. There's always like a super spiky competitive opinion. We're like, well, clearly the Blood Moon increases in its playability by 15%.
Right, and that has knock-on effects on the rest of the format.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, clearly we need to think of the first order effects and then the second order effects.
Yeah. Ragavan gets banned, and therefore I'm investing in Guru Islands.
Yeah, their mana base will get better. But what do you guys think about Delver? Like, do you think it's still a top deck? Oh, that was such a shitty, stupid, loaded question.
Do you think Delver's good?
Somebody posted on Twitter.
They were playing today. Less of them, so maybe it's not that great.
Did you see this? Somebody posted on Twitter today, and they said, when you never get tired of typing the same paragraph, and it was screenshots from, I think, the last four ban list updates for Legacy, and every single one of them is like, since their adoption of blank, it's like Delver has been a powerful definer of the format. I think Delver is going to be just fine. I think if you were to follow along in like kind of the XJ Cloud school of thought, you're like, you're forcing people to stop making bad deck building decisions by including Ragavan. I mean,
yeah, if you ask a bunch of people, better, right? Like Ragavan's insane in certain matchups, and it like kind of sucked against some of Delver's like poorer matchups.
I'm truly curious about Delver's combo matchups. And like, I know Ragavan like just ate Storm alive in terms of being able to hit things. Whereas when I think back to the Legacy of yesteryear, like I'll think back to Storm Dad and he'll say, yeah, give me 8 Delver players in a row, please and thank you. I will top 8 this tournament.
But so, that's not just Ragavan, right? Like they have a density of threats now that hit harder and faster, you know, like they have 8 Delvers essentially with DRC. And if combo gets out of hand, you 8 Force of Wills.
I think Delver definitely still has a worse combo match than it did. Because before, like Ragavan is just like the only thing I have to do, and they're hitting stuff that could potentially be a linchpin of like the actual combo deck, as well as accelerating you in a big way.
I don't know if I agree with that. Like I think Delver's better against Doomsday now. Cause the clock's faster. Really? Versus like, yeah, I mean, like if you hit someone with Ragavan and like steal a Doomsday, then that's great. The reason Ragavan was so good against Storm was because they like it would flip like Thoughtseize. And then they play the Thoughtseize for free, and you can't strip the Force of Will out of their hand, and they take, you know, your tutor.
Hell yeah.
Like you're basically dead. But like Doomsday just like need to do that. They play counter magic instead, right? Like, I mean, they do play discard or have played discard, but they just play Daze and Force of Will. And like, you know, if you flip a Daze, it's basically dead. If you flip a Doomsday, like that's kind of good because they don't draw the Doomsday. Yeah, if you flip the Oracle, it's like kind of like it's like the Vince McMahon meme, you know?
Yeah.
But I think like on the whole, it's just like gonna get like threats down faster that are actually like clocking you, and like that's what like kind of keeps those decks at base. Like you die, right? That's like the problem when you're playing a combo deck. So when you play Omni, like yes, there's like the times where they flip the show and tell and then you can't cast it, but generally speaking it's that they're just like clocking you and countering everything.
This is kind of doing the same thing though, because like aside from just taking good stuff, what Ragavan did, you know, you missed out on say 1 point of damage on like a Delver or a DRC that you have, but like the mana advantage that it gives you as the Ragavan player helps you accelerate those threats, help you cantrip into more threats.
Well, let's say you fetch twice though versus Delver. It's like a 6 turn clock getting hit with one Delver, and it's a 9 turn clock getting hit with Ragavan, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
that's a lot more turns to find show and tell omniscience and force back.
It's true, but I don't know. I think the effect of the mana you get out of it, in addition to casting opposing cantrips or whatever, is a really big deal. You know, for every point of damage you're missing, you're probably getting, you know, a card worth of advantage out of it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Jeff, what about your / my like adopted child that is Death and Taxes?
If you look at the meta as a whole, I have a feeling that it's maybe going to be a little better for D&T. Sounds kind of weird because, like, you know, Monkey
Delver, like D&T is one of the few decks where you're like, you don't give a shit, like it hits you, and you know, especially with an 80 card deck, like half the deck is already garbage as it is, and then you know, if you make it 80 cards, the chance of them hitting something relevant is like so small. But holy fuck, sorry, I'm losing my complete train of thought right now. I think the ban pushes up things like the Bant control decks and those really slow, really trying to be grindy control decks that D&T players have recently referred to the strategy as winning, strategy to win just being milling them. So those decks getting better and having a better, you know, share of the meta, I think actually puts D&T in an okay spot, because you can just still try to deal with every single way they have to kill you and just take 45 minutes to finish your game one.
Yeah, the thing that comes to my mind is the same thought with Delver, is like, well, isn't combo just going to kill you?
Yeah, and that's definitely the big question mark on this, is if there's like a gigantic uptick in like, you know, Doomsday or something that come out of this, that's extremely bad.
Yeah, like I don't think we're going to go back down to a 60 card list. Like, we've still got Prismatic Ending that's going to be with us forever, and maybe it goes to a 60 card list that's like more heavily skewed to fight some of these combo cards. But yeah, it's, I don't know, I'm not concerned for it. Mm. But again, I'd be collectively concerned for a lot of decks if all of a sudden combo starts to increase, or the amount of Lotus Petals starts to increase in the format.
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if D&T goes back to a 60 card deck list as like a standard, just from where we're at. Because even if we're talking about being concerned about combo, it's like you lose out on like Thalia or something from having 80 cards, but you kind of make up for that with random other stuff like Spirit of the Labyrinth, which is often better than Thalia in a lot of places. So you're kind of like losing ground, gaining ground in the same spot, while also just having the raw power and like, you know, resilience to just card for card. Every fair matchup.
Like, I use the describer of raw power when describing Death and Taxes.
It's as powerful as it gets, man.
That's culture complete now.
That card is raw power. I'm not gonna argue with that.
Oh yeah. You know, who among us can beat a 4-5 flyer? Nobody. It's unstoppable.
Especially when you just can't kill it and it just keeps like getting bounced.
And you know what? With Ragavan being gone, there's probably less decks running random Karakas.
Oh, that's true.
Less that gut shots true. Around. It's looking good.
I think gut shots another part about like Delver and combo. Like in your game one, they had to like dilute their deck so much because they had to worry about playing other
true.
The only thing that beats a Ragavan is a good guy with a Ragavan, right? Like it's just the Delver can adapt its shell. Like if combo becomes a problem, they just adapt the shell to beat combo.
It's kind of funny that the Delver mirrors the Ragavan, is like your Ragavan effectively is like if you hit somebody then you draw a card off your deck, because it's all the same shit.
you don't need the treasures, you can just use your lands.
I know for lands, like there was that Rich Cali article that was probably sitting in draft for a few months, and then he kind of did some revisions to it and sent it out the door pretty quickly. But it was talking about how lands might become stronger because mana base is in like the cushion that Ragavan provides to Delver players is going to go away in terms of the mana. But again, like maybe I'm wrong, but I'm really scared about Lotus Petals. I'm scared, guys. I think the sneak and show players are like licking their lips a little bit. They're getting excited. People who aren't Doomsday players are all of a sudden considering to be like, maybe I go pick up one Lion's Eye Diamond and start playing Doomsday. Like you've already got a bunch of Zoomers playing these crazy red, black reanimator lists. I'm scared, guys. I'm real scared.
It will be nice to have like mana denial kind of mean a bit more again. Some of it with Ragavan around almost felt a little bit like the Deathrite Shaman Or even like Ren and Six eras where it's like, you know, all of a sudden Wasteland and port stock goes down when people just keep playing lands or mana sources. But I think your fears are probably founded. What were you saying?
Like, Reanimator's good till it's not, right? Like yeah, and any deck has the tool because of Surgical Extraction and all the artifacts hate. Like, you can beat Reanimator frame. Reanimator can never become like a problem. You know, it'll just have like a couple weeks where like no one can see my hand, but it's going up like I'm like an ape. And then, you know, everyone hates it out.
That is kind of funny that like Graveyard Stuff in particular is like the only thing that's just almost exclusively hated out by like non-colored things.
Yeah, everyone has a way to fight graveyards for
like
some reason.
Like four ley lines, sure, they're black, but okay. You know, Surgical, sure, it's black, but okay. And then like the just like gamut of artifact, like one mana artifact graveyard hate things, or zero mana artifact graveyard hate things. Like the only colored graveyard hate that what exists or matters is Rip.
Yeah.
Like you can't tell me Wheel of Sun and Moon.
What's the pumpkin one? The green disenchant that like...
Oh, is it Return to Nature?
Return to Nature, yeah.
Yeah,
there's multiple arts for that now. It's a replace disenchant. Yeah. Rest in peace, disenchant.
I just remembered the pumpkin. I'm just like, yeah, it's that one.
See, you said the pumpkin. I think you're talking about the jack-o'-lantern that like Dredge or whatever is playing in Modern.
But the thing that makes mana?
Like, yeah, I think I don't think a graveyard hates. It's a, like a one-mana artifact, though, that like makes mana or something.
But yeah, think about how much other stuff there is. Like, there's Cage, Crypt.
Yep, Soul Guide Lantern.
Relic, Soul Guide Lantern.
That other one they just made is kind of like Soul Guide Lantern. It was in the last set, I think.
So this is a random one that came to my mind, but I think Quinn, you played a bunch of this, but the 8 cast deck. Where do you think that's gonna land with things?
I think it's just
still totally fine. Fire away.
That's gonna be like the exact same, right? You never really cared about Ragavan anyways, and you have a billion counter spells for combo.
I think like
a literal billion. It's ridiculous how many they play.
I think the only way it gets worse is that, like, it not having Ragavan might allow some decks that were like worried about Ragavan or playing Ragavan themselves poured more heavily into like things like Seeds of Innocence, like Meltdown and stuff like that. You have less sideboard slots, you know, or you're not running like main deck Caracas ruining your mana base or something. But so I don't think it'll be that big.
As the podcast combo player, and maybe you can stoke my fears of the Lotus Petals overtaking the format, but what are your thoughts on some of the combo decks that you own and play?
Like Storm, I don't know if it's going to be good, but it certainly becomes like more playable. Like that's a big one. Like discard base combo, right? That's the kind of deck that gets a boost because you're not losing to your own like duress. No feeling worse than that. You know, whether or not Storm's actually good, I don't know. I think the thing is that like Doomsday beats Storm, so it's another like Spider-Man pointing or only way to beat a bad guy is like to be a good guy with a Lotus Petal. But it's certainly in a better place because that like Storm versus Ragavan Delver decks was like a miserable matchup. Doomsday is interesting. Like I think it might be worse for them. Like there are those scenarios, right, where you like flip the good cards. And initially too, I was on the same page as you guys, and then I think Dylan was like, I think it gets worse for Doomsday.
Is it just because of like a perceived like increasing clock speed or what?
Well, the clock gets faster. They're not designing their decks to like it's not the Ragavan arms race, right? Like you still have to, you know, you have to be prepared for the Delver matchup. So like, I don't know, you have blasts or whatever on the side and like, but you're already playing a removal of some sort. You have bolts and stuff like that anyways, but you can kind of prioritize your like board to like beat up on combo even more, right?
Feels to me like the cavern lines are going to be more common with Doomsday. Like if people start to try to like, I'm going to stop you on the stack and how you win. And then they just like make their Doomsday pile and they're like, cavern naming, you lose.
Every time I play like a blue deck on Magic Online, I play against Doomsday and I'm like, this fucker, I got him. I got his ass. He's got no chance. It's like Catherine on Merfolk. And you're just looking at your hands full of forces. It's like, oh no. Yeah. Fuck. The Cavern's always so rude at a Doomsday.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it. I don't know. I've been going on about it this whole episode here, but I think Doomsday, maybe it's just because who did the interview with the gentleman who won or got in the finals on Eternal Weekend? Was that Everyday Eternal? Did they Neville shoot? I'm pretty sure it was them who interviewed him.
We're but exposing kind of ourselves here.
They were talking through just the lines and like, there was a section where they talked about like, well, what would happen if they got rid of Ragavan? And I'm pretty sure it was a positive outlook from that perspective. But I don't know. I'd go back and I'd listen to that the later end of that episode and see what they thought. But Jeff's doing some really quick looking here. But
I think like, what does Ragavan do, right? Like there's that best case you're talking about where you like, you flip the oracle and then they're dead. But the clock's slower. Yeah, they're getting more mana, but the ways they're beating you are that they're clocking you and then playing mostly free counter magic anyways. Guess they can like hard cast force negation after board. But it's not like you're attacking their mana base, right? That's the other thing that Ragman's really good at, is that you can like waste Delver out, which always used to be, and I guess may become again. Oh man, when you're playing your Delver opponent, it's like, oh, like I was just like Volcanic Island Ponder. And you're like, oh man, I really want to play this Glistenoff, but I also don't want to get dazed. But you know what I will do? Fucking wasteland you. Who's delving who now, motherfucker? and then they miss their land drop, and you're like, fucking got them. You're like, if they turn one a Ragavan, like that doesn't happen. Because the next turn you're like, oh, wasteland you, like, great, hit you, make a treasure, go.
I remember playing against Grixis Delver at like GP Seattle, and this guy goes like fetch, and then you see him looking through his deck, and then he stops, looks through his deck again. You see him look through his graveyard, and he goes, oh, I don't have any more black sources. It's like, fucking got him. That's a good feeling, and Monkey never let you have that.
Will did that to me. I was like, he's like, you got Flusterstorm? I'm like, yes, sir. And then I fetch. He's like, show me the tropical island. And I'm like, looking at my graveyard, I'm like, I'm on lane 3. You got it.
It's an interesting thought that, like, the between Dreadhorde, between Renin 6, between Deathrite, like, it's been a long time since Delver was, like, actually kind of weak to just, like, hey, here's two wastelands. What are you going to do? Like, take out two of your sources. Like, it feels as though maybe Stifle comes back. Who knows?
Maybe.
But I do love just being either the Death and Taxes player or the lands player. And you're just like, what's your win con? You not casting spells, actually. That's my win con. And guess what?
I think they'll just go up in lands as well, though.
Mm.
Yeah, there is a precedent for going up to 19, and often that 19th is a basic or two. So we could go there. But often there's that kind of like, you know, Delvers are having a battle it out against each other, so they have to be lean and mean and efficient, and they just make it up elsewhere. But
I think like combat wastelands, and also like we might see more like 2 and 3 drop threats come back. Probably not young. I was gonna say Young Pyromancer, but probably not, because
I saw some list of the Young Pyromancer, but that can't be right. That can't be good.
like, who's playing black? Even if discard comes back, like, how much of the -1/-1 guy I hate? What's that? Why can I never remember cards on podcasting? Plague Engineer. Like, how much Plague Engineer are you really going to see?
Hopefully none. Fuck that card. Fuck Plague Engineer.
Fucking wrecks Young Peasy.
It does.
Control.
Big boost. Is
Control the new Overlord?
I don't know. Delver's still the Overlord, but Control gets better for sure.
Yeah, I think definitely a big uptick in every flavor of Control. Just being able to decide. Like, the thing with Ragavan was always like, you'd have to try to deal with it. It's like a Goblin Lackey, right? Because it's like, sometimes it'll hit you and you're like, wow, okay, I didn't really do much. Sometimes it hits you and you're like, wow, I'm fucked. The game's over. And Control being able to decide to kill something based on whether or not it's like going to kill them, as opposed to, like, you know, the effect of it hitting them is going to make them lose the game, really just lets them extend all those games out and really prioritize threats differently, which is really beneficial.
I think the heroes now, Quinn.
The presence of Prismatic Ending, I have them in cart.
The
presence of Prismatic Ending too, like, you really have to like out volume like your opponent's like cheap removal, main deckable removal spells. So, like, you know, now they've got four swords and probably like 2/4 Prismatic Endings that are like perfectly reasonable to play in your main. So, like, game one, I think probably gets a lot better for Control. Because they're not having to play into days to get the Ragavan off the board right away or take a hit. And then, you know.
I could even see swords starting to get trimmed. And you just stick with your four Prismatic Endings and then be like, oh, I'm going to play two swords or something.
I mean, that's not crazy. The biggest thing you'd be exposing yourself to then would be Murktide, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, the need for like instant speed removal definitely goes down.
That's the other thing too, is that Murktide just really lets we've been talking about like how much faster is the clock, or like, you know, 3 power versus 2 power. I think like Murktide is still a thing that keeps like Delver on top in a way that even like Angler, a lot of decks could chump it, you know, you could like make like mentor tokens or something.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Delver goes with like a lean mean, more like just traditional blue red Delver, or it's kind of a little bit more burn heavy, or if it goes to something similar to Bullwinkle, one of those zoomers, where it's almost like 8 threats, where it's just like Ragavan, Murktide, and interaction. Like, you've got Unholy Heats and Expressive Iterations, and it almost looks like a modern deck. Obviously, the Ragavan's not part of that anymore, but like potentially playing something that feels a little bit more like a Canadian Threshold deck, where you're like 8 to 10 threats. And it's just like, I got cards for days, boys. I got my expressos to keep me going. I got interaction. I'm eventually going to deploy a threat and I'm going to get you. And yeah, we'll see.
I still think you need to why would you cut Murktide? You know, like, it's just so
insane.
Well, I think that's like why we wouldn't see like necessarily like, you know, like the counter burn old school Delver, because like, you just like that Murktide is like, I mean, I guess you can like power it up, but like as a mid-range threat, it like dies to sword, dies to blast, but it gets out of even like Unholy Heat range, right? You come in, what is a 7/7
big eight boy eight? You ever cast a Murktide after you have a Murktide in play? Oh my god.
Why did they do that?
I don't know why they've done that.
It's one of those things that's like kind of inconsequential, because like when it happens, you're just like, yeah, the game was already over. It didn't matter. Like, why did you have to rub it in my face? Yeah, I'm just looking at some of these like 4-color. I'm looking at an 4-color list here. So like, you've got, oh, it'd be sweet if Snappy comes back and some
also grows your Murktide.
Man. Got Endurance still. Endurance is just going to stick around forever. What a card.
Fucking card.
Oh, man. I guess if you, like, Endurance your opponent, it grows the Murktide, too.
They go on the bottom.
But it leaves your graveyard, right? Isn't that the wording? Whenever a card leaves your graveyard? It's not exile, is it?
Yeah, when it leaves your graveyard.
Like, yeah, because like low, that's why you can loop Loam. Yeah, you dredge Loam and it like gets bigger.
You can cast Loam and it gets, well, no, that doesn't work because it's instant or sorcery. If you could turn instant or sorceries in your graveyard also into lands, then when you cast Loam, your Murktide would get bigger.
Yeah. But like someone was playing, was it like Dark Blast? Is that the dredge?
Yep. Oh, dude, Dark Blast.
Dark Blast and Murktide, like rebuying Dark Blast and like making your dragon slowly bigger too. It's just like,
jeez. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see where stuff goes. I feel like for now, honestly, not much is going to change. You know, the easy slot is certainly to just get rid of your gut shots and put in, you know, even out on DRCs, maybe throw in like a Brazen Borrower or something. It's just like a
maybe go back up to guy. Four Delvers, like in the good old days.
Get some Delvers back in there.
So what are Delvers? What are, well, maybe let's just talk about some of like the main card advantage engines that exist in the format right now. You've got Expressive Iteration. You've got
Brainstorm.
Sylvan Library can get you a bunch of cards. What else that costs like one or two mana? That's not like a Jace or something like that.
Are you talking about like for Delver or just like in general?
Just cards in general, like Uro, that's a big card advantage engine.
Gristle Brand.
the entire 8 cast deck.
Yeah.
Companion mechanic.
Narset.
Oh yeah, Narset's a good one actually.
Do you think the Day's Undoing deck is gonna stick around? That's so annoying to play against, man.
Like the Hullbreacher,
Narset, Day's Undoing, you know, the air quotes meme deck, which is just like Jeskai control plus like, you know, six cards. I mean, those feel like they're also pretty unchanged from this situation. I don't think I really cared about Ragavan. But oh god, they're so annoying to play against.
You don't like having one card in your hand?
Hullbreacher is a dumb card.
If you like having cards, you should consider blue. I'm just putting it out there.
I just want to take my cards and keep them in my hand for a while and just look at them and think one day I will get to use them. And then they go away. That's not cool.
They go away and then your opponent just makes it like more treasure than they can possibly do anything with.
The only silver lining of that deck being a thing people are playing that exists is when you have a Spirit of the Labyrinth out and people are just like slamming, they're like, yeah, go, go, go. And it's like, okay, what if we just mind twist each other? Like, I will take this.
I played that Day's Undoing deck just like on Thursday and I like did like whatever. I'm sure I didn't play it like optimally. But there was one game that I won where I just like comboed. And then after when I was sideboarding, I was like, why did I make the treasures?
It didn't matter.
It didn't matter. But like when you make the treasures too, you're like, oh wow, that's good.
It feels like when you cast like a High Tide and then you cast Time Spiral, right? You're like, look, I got a bunch of new cards and a bunch of new mana.
It's like such a like the Day's Undoing, like it ends the turn, you know, clause. Mm-hmm. And you're like, huh? I like Day's Undoing. Like, what are you gonna? You're gonna have two cards in hand. I'm gonna have seven and like six additional mana sources. I'm like, seems fine. Right, my two counter spells.
Pitch two of these cards I just drew to counter one of the ones you have. Also, like this deck's playing Teferi, so like, you know, not even the misquoted Rich Cali thing about using Day's Undoing to end your opponent's turn, because that doesn't work. But like, you just cast Day's Undoing on your turn and your turn, but it's like, oops, I plus my Teferi. I can still, you know, ponder, brainstorm, whatever on your turn, all I want. Yeah, shit. The deck's annoying. That was actually, I played some leagues last week with like D&D. I think I played maybe three or four leagues. And I was kind of getting back in the groove. And then I played against that deck like three times in a row, like three times in one league. And I was just like, I'm turning off Magic Online. I'm just not having a good time.
Because like, yeah, how do you fight it?
Just nothing.
With D&D, like you have to source the Hullbreacher.
Yeah, but if they have like the Narset, then you can't even do that. So it's like you need to have a Swords or like Solitude to get rid of the Hullbreacher, but then you still, you know, flip a bunch of cards, and it's it's not great. The best thing to do is, like I mentioned, you play a Spirit of the Labyrinth and you hope they don't read the card.
Look, we've all brainstormed a Spirit of the Labyrinth and then silently been like, fuck, concede.
Including me. Oh, man.
That happens online with Strict Proctor.
Mm-hmm.
Strict Proctor is like the Zag is like when a creature enters the battlefield. No, permanent enters the battlefield. It stifles
yeah,
it unless
combo
you
with
pay
the land,
two.
Right? Yeah.
And like sometimes in like historic, you just put a Strict Proctor into play, and your opponent just like fucking like sick end of turn, like collective company, and they're like they'll put two creatures into play, and there'll be this long pause. And then you see, like, you know, when you can see your opponent like highlight cards on Arena, they like mm-hmm. highlight the Strict Proctor, and then like go to their turn and like nothing's happened. Ugh.
Yeah, it's those pauses are my favorite. You just know what someone's up to.
Oh, when people try and Skyclave it, like they're on, like you play a Strict Proctor and they untap and play their third land, like Skyclave Apparition. And
slam.
It lets you like because you could pay two conceivably, mm-hmm. you do the targeting and then it like it targets and the thing comes up and then it just disappears. And then there's like a pause. Like what just happened? I don't understand what happened.
Oh, that's great.
It's a beautiful thing.
I think we're kind of petering out and talking about Ragavan. I did want to talk about something else, which I mean it's pre-ban Legacy now. So on one hand, what's it worth? On the other hand, it's your bi-weekly JTL update.
How many Drakes do you have?
One Drake.
How many Drakes is he playing?
Four Drakes.
There's still only three Drakes. But continue.
Yeah, we've been over this. Like, the monkeys come and gone. Seasons change. And you need to get some goddamn...
Ape NFTs are Drakes. Out. Bird NFTs they're, are in. No, dragon. So... It's a fucking dragon, right? We talked
yeah,
about
it's
this.
A Drake. It's specifically, Quinn, it's a Drake. Dragons have front legs. Drakes do not. somebody will message me like, yo, I hear you want a Drake. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, I found a sick deal. And I'm like, send it to me. And it's like, it's $400. Like it is like a good deal in the scope of how much it costs, but like I'm not spending fucking $400 on a goddamn gilded Drake.
It's fucking just, gilded. Come on.
I feel like also you know those kind of people where like you ask a question and then they hear an answer they don't like, so they just keep asking the question until somebody gives them the answer they want and they go, oh, of course. This is how I feel with Drakes, because I'm sitting here thinking every time I play them, they're not even good. I don't even understand why they're good in this deck. And, you know, Jeff keeps winning with them and keeps playing more of them. And then I was talking to Jack on the weekend and he was like, I don't even think Drake's good. And I was like, yes, Drake isn't good. I don't need to buy them.
Okay, so
you always say this. And then Tristan O'Loughlin was like, oh, man, Reed's playing JTL in the showcase final. Oh, wow. He's getting dumpster. Oh, my God. He just draked him like three times. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, the man's a master. So, I mean, okay. This list that he's playing on the challenge, this is from January 23rd. Like, this man's on another level. He's tapped into the Matrix. You know, we're all
what's
fucking
that angel
seeing
thing.
We're all seeing the lady in the red dress and he's just seeing fucking ones and zeros. Like he's got this down. So, I mean, picture, if you will, a typical Esper Vile Yorion list. You know, you got all the good stuff. Baleful Strix, Charring Prince, the classic JTL Fibble Thip, Gilded Drake, down to one Meddling Mage. That'll probably go up in a more combo heavy meta. But stuff starts getting a little wonky once you get like three quarters away through the creature suite. In that there's two grief. It's kind of a weird number. One solitude, which has been in most of his lists recently, and one, as you mentioned, Quinn, Angel of the Ruins.
Is that a Commander Legends card?
Yes. And we are not often a podcast that probably properly reads out cards and what they do. I'm going to read this one because I don't think anybody knows what the fuck this does. There was actually some excitement when this, and there's a red one that came out when they were spoiled. I think Painter stuff was kind of thinking about it.
Yeah. So can I try it? Cause I think I read the other day.
Oh,
I think I
can do it. Please.
I can't remember the mana. Is it six mana or seven mana? But it's like two white, four colorless.
Five, seven five mana. Colorless?
So seven yep. mana. For two colors, you can plane cycle it.
Oh, hell yes. Underappreciated.
Otherwise it ETBs and exiles up to two artifacts or enchantments and or enchantments.
Mm-hmm. And it flies.
And it flies and it's a 4/4, I'm assuming.
5/7.
5/7.
And oh. it's an artifact, so you can weld it in or whatever. And of note for McBain, for
when you said weld in, McBain just shot forward.
Microphone got unmuted. Of note, the last thing I'm gonna say, McBain, before you can say something. We talked this before. Plane cycling lets you find any planes. It does not have to be a basic, so you can go find a tundra or a scrubland or whatever you want.
Or for Painter Plateau.
Yes.
Huh. This is a powerful magic card.
Quinn, can you look up what the red one does since we're talking about stuff right now?
Yeah, one sec.
So further through this JTL list, he's on four Teferis, which is kind of weird, but you know, 80 cards, sure, why not? Nothing else too exciting aside from two prophetic prisms.
I was just gonna say, I'm like, what are you fucking talking about? There's two prophetic prisms.
Which, I mean, sure, flicker with Yorion, bounce it with Teferi. It's great. People know how good Astrolabe is, and why not cast one off of duels? Okay. And then, before anybody else says anything, three, if you were to like put a gun to my head and say, what else was in this deck? It's three copies of a card, and they're not creatures or instant or sorcery or like a planeswalker. I would never guess just three value animate deads.
It's like, I mean, not value, because like how else do you make the angel, right?
No, there's only one angel. It's not like you're tutoring for it. Like, that's not even like explicitly the combo. The angel is literally just like sometimes you get to animate dead and it's cool. So the thing with animate dead in here, though, with the Yorion deck, you animate dead, you bring back, I don't know, say like a Strix, right? You get an 0/1 death touch draw card. Great.
Different permanent.
But you cast Yorion. Oh my God. You can flicker the Strix and the animate dead. The Strix comes back normally, and then the animate dead comes back and pulls something else back. Like, oh my God. It's I'm not convinced it's good, but like that's so sweet.
So the part that I really like about this is like animate dead's just like randomly good. Like yeah. People are like, hey, here's my Uro. You're like, okay, well, I guess that doesn't really work that great. But when you have like reanimator or like other decks who are trying to like do stuff and you're like, oh, I randomly have animate dead for you. What are you gonna do about it?
The like the hidden mode on reanimate. Like yeah. Sometimes you're just thoughts use your opponent, you're like, oh.
Well, yeah, and you are playing two griefs, so like even the like grief animated grief mm-hmm. you again is still a thing, and then you flicker that and go nuts. And the fact that you just have like Teferi stopping your opponent from like they just sit there and they're like, you're casting animate dead, and you're like, yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, here it comes,
yeah.
Jeff, there's a red card in Commander Legends.
I'm pretty sure there was a red thing that was like Angel of Ruins. I could be wrong. I could be lying, but I thought there was a mountain cycling one that was also an artifact. The only other thing I want to call out here, which is like exceptionally fucking weird to me in the main deck, is having two Phyrexian Towers. I am not sure what you're going for with two Phyrexian Towers. Like the only thing I could think of was like you can turn one, like pitch grief, sack it for black mana with the trigger on the stack, and then like animate dead it.
Dead it? That's sick.
Like that is sick, but like are two Phyrexian Towers worth including? Because like it isn't like anything like makes tokens, like you're sacrificing a real thing and you don't have that many of them to go around, so I don't know. But like, I guess with Anime Dead, it's also a way to like rebuy an ETB, like who needs a flick or something when you can kill it and then cast Anime Dead.
Helps you ramp as your angel too.
Yep. And then the sideboard, normal JTL stuff, but just two more cards I need to call out. One is one I had to look up because I don't know what the fuck this was. Wall of Stolen Identity. Do either of you know what this does?
I just think of like the Arnold Schwarzenegger Stolen Identity meme when I hear this.
What is the Arnold Schwarzenegger Stolen Identity meme?
I'm not going to do it because it's awful. But.
Wall of Stolen Identity is blue and three colorless.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the stats on it, but it enters the battlefield and it clones something, and then that the original can't is tapped or something. It sleeps.
Yeah, so it clones something, but it's still a wall. But then the other thing is like tapped down for as long as you have the wall, and because it's a clone, it's a 0/0. So like. What do you? I guess it's like a clone that's also removal, but also it's not like
I think he's actually just messing with you now. Like some of these cards have been put in the sideboard and main deck just for you. He's like, oh, Jeff is gonna see this like two Frex and Dower and lose his mind.
The cabal of Jeff's.
He won't know why I have two in here, but really it's just me trolling him.
And then the other card to call attention to, I've seen actually suggested around in places, is Necroplasm. Now, do either of you know what Necroplasm does? This is a good old Ravnica card.
It's some pretty cool technology.
It is extremely cool technology.
Go ahead.
So Necroplasm is one black for an ooze. At the beginning of your upkeep, you can put a counter on it, +1/+1. At the end of your turn, destroy each creature with converted mana cost equal to the number of +1/+1 counters on Necroplasm.
I didn't see this.
And it's a 1/1 of the dredge too.
Yeah, and so, it kills constructs.
Oh, yeah.
The turn it comes down.
Just eats them. That's sweet.
Pretty incredible. This is some technology here.
You found the card?
It's from Commander 21, though, I think.
Oh, okay. Not
Commander Legends. Ruin Grinder.
Ooh, what's he do?
It's a 5 and a red. It's a 7/4. A little more uneven power and toughness for you. Has Menace and Mountain Cycling. When Ruin Grinder dies, each player may discard their hand and draw 7 cards.
Oh, this is the one you're thinking about. Yeah.
Oh, and the other one is from Commander 2021. So the Angels from, not Commander Legends.
Oh, okay.
So it is kind of like a little two-part cycle. A little two-piece.
I was going to look for that angel in my bulk, but I don't have it. If it's from, I thought it was Commander Legends.
Yeah. Yeah, these are sweet. Put together some kind of dope, like, painter list that uses these. I guess the red one, aside from the way to put it in the bin yourself, isn't it basically the same as that Sphinx?
Yeah.
Sphinx.
No, the dragon, right?
Sphinx. It's like 7 mana. And it's like a 4/4 flyer where it's like you draw up to the highest number of cards in hand or something.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. That doesn't fucking matter.
Is there like a red blue painter list with like Hull Breacher?
I don't think so.
This.
I don't think so.
It's like you could just make
two card that, Monty.
Yeah, that spooky swamp painter lady who lets you play artifacts from your graveyard.
Swamp lady.
You know,
Emery. It's not a swamp, yeah. It's a lock.
Sorry to any Scottish folk in the audience.
I can't get over this JTL list. This is wild. Do you, obviously, Asterix Gilded Drinks aside, and maybe the second Phyrexian Tower, you have all these cards, Jeff?
I need Anime Deads, but I do. I don't have an Angel of the Ruins, I suppose, for what it's worth, or Griefs, but I do have everything else. So, I mean, look, whenever paper starts again, I'm going to get that fourth Bridge Prowler and I'm going to get you.
What do you have towers for? They're going to
say fourth Gilded Drake.
I have towers from some fucking Goblin List Eli post that I think forever ago. I might not have two, but I definitely have some.
I got the Singleton Prismatic Vista. That's the only one that I own, baby. I have to go through my popper box to get the prophetic prisms.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What a deck.
It's crazy, man. And yeah, he played against Reed in the quarterfinals, semifinals. I got to go watch that match because it's going to be great. Jeff's also just like a machine. Like, he's absolutely one of those people where you're just like, what are you doing? How are you winning these games? I mean, it's like when we talked about it the first time, it's like, I'm sorry, you're winning games playing fucking Tithe and Weathered Wayfarer. Like, what's happening?
In like 10 or 11 rounds, whatever it was, do you think he ever cast Animate Dead, got the Angel back, exiled his own Prophetic Prisms, ate the Angel just to draw cards with Prophetic Prism?
Why would you eat your own Prophetic Prisms?
Doesn't ETB draw a card?
Yeah, but why would you get rid of him?
You put them into play, you eat them, and then you sack the Angel, and then they come back, right?
What? You keep saying eat them. Exile. No, it's not an O-ring. They just exile.
Oh, they're just gone. Okay, just gone.
Get the fuck out of here. That makes more sense. I was like, what are you talking about? Do you think he ever three for ones himself?
No, I thought like maybe just to draw cards, like the slowest card draw engine of all time.
Oh, that would be cool though. I mean, this already is the fucking slowest card draw engine of all time. When you're like turn two Prophetic Prism, turn three Teferi, bounce Prophetic Prism, turn four Prophetic Prism. Him, me, him.
I just remember that Astrolabe drew a card.
Right? Isn't that fucked? Isn't that so stupid?
When you said Teferi, the number of times that I was like, oh, what am I going to do here? I'm like, don't let me white man off float a white bounce away. Like, yeah, put it back into play. Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh. All right. Before we start reliving cards that are now banned and we'll never have to see or talk about again.
Wait, why don't we?
Yeah, go ahead.
Since there were bans, I don't think any of us have like cool monkey stories. What is like, what's your like, the banned card you missed the most? So something we had to play against, don't be like, or something you played with.
I got nothing. Every ban that comes up in the format I've been playing, I'm like, hell yeah.
I mean, like, I think most of the bans have been good.
Like Ren and Six, fuck off. Deathrite Shaman, eat shit.
But you never played any of these cards and like had a moment?
Go fucking die. I mean, I played a bit of all those cards, but like not enough to have any like you know, any tinge of like, wow, maybe that's not cool. I mean, this is the closest, because secondhand I have McBain stories about playing a single monkey that he opened in Painter, and now we've lost that forever.
I got like probe ones for sure.
Fuck off.
Oh, you're like, so there's the probe one. I think I've told this, where I was like, my opponent made like a shitload of goblins, and I'm like, pass a turn, they're like hellbent, and I'm like, I need to draw like one pump spell, and this blighted agent's fucking lethal. And then he's like, show me the pump spell, like, and I'm like, I don't have it in hand. And he's like, well, flip the top then. And I flip the top, and we're like, oh, and it's probe. And he's like, I'm like, I'll pay two life, probe you. And he's like, I still have zero cards in hand, show me the next one. And it was Become Immense. And that was again to day two in Seattle. And then I saw the guy, there's one round left after that, and I saw him at the pairings board the next day. I'm like, you fucking made it. You won the next round. He's like, hell yeah, I did, brother. Let's go. Let's probe some people. And then it was either like I was playing Tim or like Josh Monks or someone in Seattle. And I just remember probing them and being like, oh, fuck, I'm dead. Like, I was just like, it was early in the game, but I'm like, I just know fucking way for me to beat this hand. It's insane.
There's not many cards that like don't have really any way possible to win the game that end the game as much as probe does. Because like you're saying, you probe and you're like, this game's over. We could play for five more turns, but I'm losing.
Yeah, like we kept playing and I was like, oh yeah, that was just a real massacre.
One awful memory, one thing that I recently rewatched was, it was like an old SCG top eight or something like that. And I think it was like a Brian Brandu and playing Sneak and Shore or something like that. But it started off with like, okay, turn one, I'm going to play probe. cards all laid down, and the guy like gets his pen out and writes down all the cards and everything, and they're just sitting around waiting, kind of look at everything. And I was like, I forgot how annoying that was. The like, as soon as you start the game, your opponent's just like, hey, let me see your hand. P.S. I'm not down on any cards. Like, and I still have my mana. Like, that was some serious bullshit. Sensei's top is clearly mine.
I was gonna say, you must have a top story, right?
Yeah, well, no, I just like I loved playing that specific version of Painter. I'm excited to play more of it. Like, I think Ursa's Saga is like the right kind of fit for the deck, and yeah, I'm excited for it. But yeah, top is definitely my banned card that I'm really sad to see go.
Yeah, top's so much cooler than Saga.
Can't just like get top.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fucked up, actually. That's a nice. Really good reason to not unban top and then like ban something else instead.
Oh, fuck.
Well, guys, we made it. It's 2022. Ragavan's ban. Maybe Omicron's gonna, you know, spread and get enough antibodies out there that things start to open up when we get paper back and all that. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like maybe Omicron will spread. I'm excited. I'm gonna edit that together in the post production. McBain, Jesus.
Yeah, I can't wait until we have more paper stuff at Stronghold again. I've got a lot of stuff going on with work and stuff right now. And, you know, Magic Online does not scratch the same kind of like social, whatever itch to just like have a really good time like Paper Magic does. And it's going to be so nice when that happens again.
I just want a paper to come back so I can play that fucking sinkhole list.
Yeah, that's a list you can't play online. You need to stare into their soul.
And now they don't have monkeys to like bail them out.
Right?
Yeah, if you want to actually tell a brief story about stupid fucking monkey, it's not a good memory. It's the amount of games where you have your opponent down on zero mana and they have a monkey you just don't have like a removal spell for. They have zero lands and they're just like hitting you and getting fucking treasure and casting cantrips. No, fucking, I'm glad Ragavan is the way of Harambe. Get out of here.
Man, this deck, this single deck gets better without monkey too. Oh, I just like, I know we've talked about this before, but like four sinkholes, a vindicate, four stifles and cut the snuff out now. Need that.
I don't know, Quinn. When I heard that whole parallax tide and then count stifle the trigger or kill it with a seal or bounce it or something like that in response to it, and you just sinkhole five lands, that was,
yeah, but I mean, you know, can't pay five mana in 2022, or no, six, right?
No, it's four mana,
four mana,
blue two. Yeah,
oh, is parallax only three mana?
No, it's four mana.
Yeah,
it's four and stifle.
Oh, okay. So yeah, stifle would be five mana, but the pre-modern list had the seal of cleansings in the deck as well. So you could like do a turn two or turn three,
prepay, play
seal,
bounce it,
and then you would just, well, and it was like, and again, it was a control deck, so you would be countering spells, yeah, you'd be trying to accrue your mana advantage, and then you'd just be like, Armageddon, you, just you, actually, yeah, all of those lands, get them out of here. Anyway, well, I really want to move to our like that's gas section, but I also just want to like really get frustrated that Jeff, you just continue to not pick up Gilded Drakes.
Like, just so expensive for a card that I am not sure is good, and it sees play in one deck.
You just don't, like, know how many tickets you have in your Magic Online account.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm going to make a terrible investment.
How is a terrible investment? The worst case scenario is that you change your mind and then sell them for more money in like 2 months.
Yeah, but I'd rather, if I'm going to spend those tickets on Magic cards, I'd rather buy like duels, you know?
Now we're talking.
like investment, not in terms of just like monetary wise, but investment, like I'm going to use them, or they open different doors. And like Drake just is like, I don't know. I wouldn't mind getting one more, because then I can say I gave it a try. But yeah.
Do you want to buy a time vault?
College try.
No. No. I also don't want to see Mox Emerald.
I just said, you know, I wasn't going to offer that. Move down that road. I'm switching up my business plan.
Fuck.
All right, well, let's jump into That's Gas then. Jeff, you've sworn the most this episode. How about you go first?
Sure. We just this weekend managed to have a little bit of a getaway, which is really nice. Like extended family member, I guess, has a place in Whistler that they let people, you know, use sometimes. So my wife and I went up with some friends of ours to this condo in Whistler for the weekend, which was great. You know, I haven't gone anywhere in a while, and seeing like people who are in the bubble of people we've been seeing in general, but you know, like just seeing people for like, instead of just let's sit down and have a meal and talk, but you know, for like a couple of days was a lot of fun. We never went skiing, the two of us, everybody else did, which would be awesome. But we did get to go to the Scandinavian spa up there and just sit in like hot tubs for like 4 hours, which was fantastic. You know, it's funny, you're supposed to like cycle between hot tub and then like cold tub for like 10 seconds to like shock the system, and then go like just chill out in like a kind of warm room. This is my spa experience I'm describing. And the first time you're sitting there and you're not allowed to talk and you're listening to these fucking rivers and bird noises, and I'm thinking like, this is nice, but like this kind of like super zen relaxation like isn't so much for me, you know, my mind's too busy thinking of things. And then the second time we hit it, my mind was just flying through the fucking quantum universe of like, you know, where am I at in life, what does this mean, how do I feel. It was great.
The drinks should I buy?
I can hear their call. Caw, caw. Or maybe a whatever fucking that it was in a bird and a dragon or a drake is. The point of all of this is to say, weekends going somewhere, especially with friends, fucking absolute octane. Just pure jet fuel. So good.
You're saying can't melt steel beams?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Quinn, what's going on?
I think do the obvious one. That's guess our savior, Ian Duke. And Ian, if you're listening, I'll gas you up again if you stay true to your promise about taking quick action if things are still fucked. Thank you, my friend. McVane, take us home.
Yeah, I'm going to... This is a bit of an odd one, but not as odd as last week. But Eric Martin, this is a name neither of you know, and I didn't know this name until recently. But it was an old school opponent that I had in the Winter Derby, which is like a big worldwide old school event that's held one in the winter and one in the summer. Hundreds of people join. Things are raised for charity. It's a great time. And there's like a two pod system where you get like four or five opponents. And then the really good performing decks continue on from there. I was not among them. But one of the last matches I played was against this guy, Eric Martin. And one, he was just really kind and considerate about like, I was moving. And so I kept kind of bumping our match. And I was like, I can't play right now. Like, it just doesn't work. I can't play right now. It doesn't work. And then when we finally got down to it, he was just super chill, super fun. And one of those people that would just kind of like totally fit in with like the local store and just hang out, and everyone, it could just be a great time. So it was just a super enjoyable like match that we played over webcam. Really fun to hang out with. He actually has a podcast, an old school podcast called This Old Deck. It's been around for, I guess, a year now. Previously, he was part of the Alamo City old school crew. But he recently moved. He let me know that he recently moved to Seattle because his wife took some like corporate headquarter job. And now they live in Seattle, 30 minutes from Bellevue.
Oh, sick.
The Mox. And I was just like, oh, dude. So am I going to see you? Like, if I go to this like firewalk with me old school event, are you going to be there as well? He's like, oh, I'm going. And then we were talking about Legacy and he's like, I don't play that much Legacy anymore. Yada, yada, this rag event, blah, blah, blah. So maybe he'll get back into some Legacy, but it was just one of those like random people that he come across and it was just a really cool guy. So, and he was just playing this like unpowered blue red deck. And we had a bunch of matches, Quinn, that you would like totally appreciate. We're like, we're down to the wire. And I'm just like, flip the top card. What do you got? And he's like, here we go. And he flips it. He's like, Psionic Blast. He's like, you're dead. What's up? Like game three, here we go. And like every game was just like super down to the wire and enjoyable. So yeah, it was, you never know what you're going to get when you have one of those like worldwide webcam events. Or it could just be anyone. But this guy was exceptionally cool. So shout outs to Eric Martin.
I realize we don't do the Twitter thing anymore. But now also I don't want to, since Jeff, you kept the good meme for like your personal brand, not the shared brand of the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it just it struck me that what is probably the most like just convergent thought among anybody who spends as much time online as I do, didn't have time to log into the account.
We only have like 100 followers. We need you. We need that wit on our timeline.
That's what I got dad for making memes.
Yeah, PowerPoint.
Can't access the account anymore. You gotta send me the password.
Okay, the password is the same password as every other account that we have.
You made one meme and then you got locked out of the account.
It was like two. It was like too good. He refreshed and Twitter was like, no.
Yeah.
How did this happen?
He's been shadow banned. he's like a conservative scholar shadow banned off of Twitter.
We're the fucking intellectual dark web of Legacy podcasts.
So
we have a good title. There's like three good titles for the episode, and like that one's also up there.
Who should we talk to about our Mongoose NFTs?
Like we should get Ranky back for a limited run.
Yeah.
Okay, really like this idea.
I think this is great. And anyone else, like if you know a special Beeple friend of yours, or Beeple, whatever his name
Beeple?
Is.
Beeple? Oh, you're talking about the guy that made the collage NFT thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Beeple.
But really we want some like Bored Mongoose meme or NFTs to go with our account. And it can be like a gift on the, can be part of the Patreon thing, like, you know, the gold tier.
Yeah, yeah.
The Mongoose tier, you get your own Bored Mongoose.
I'm looking for that fucking hexagon Twitter profile picture.
I can't wait for Jeff's next viral tweet where it's just like, I've gotten really into art during the pandemic. And then it's just like a mongoose smoking a joint with like a Rasta hat on. Finally, I found a way to express my love of art and also mongoose.
Alrighty.
All right, nothing of value.
You can't even right click and save them because it's got Shroud. All right, we're done. See you on the 3 threshold. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Dragons have front legs. Dragons do not.